May we join in worship by singing hymn 43. Hymn number 43. Be seated. Will you join in the responsive reading of selection number 93? Selection 93. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. May we continue by singing hymn 48. We will remain seated as we sing hymn 48. Together this morning for a few moments on the topic, the Holy Spirit in human experience. From pulpits, in present-day religious literature, and in personal conversations among Christians, there seems to be a strong note of pessimism and defeat as to present conditions in the world and in our country in particular. In seeking to analyze honestly and objectively the situation and its concomitant results, one is convinced that the attitude is due in large measure to the fact that the Holy Spirit is not real and vital in most of our lives. To some, the Holy Spirit is so impersonal that he is referred to in the neuter gender. To others, he is synonymous with Pentecostalism, with religious and emotional excesses. To others, he is only an abstract theological conjecture. He is another item on the list of subjects on which the student might speculate, take it or leave it at will. At this time, I wish to bear witness to the reality and vitality of the Holy Spirit in human experience. This will have to be a subjective testimony, for I can only speak of that which I know and have experienced in my own life. I make no apologies for using the first personal pronoun throughout this meditation. There is biblical basis for this. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." In the first place, through the Holy Spirit, the sinful human nature within me is put to death. As sinful man, the law of sin and death is ever present in my life. Paul's experience becomes my experience. Quote, I am a creature of the flesh and blood under the power of sin. I do not understand my own actions, what I want to do, that I do not do, but what I hate, that I do. End quote. There is no power in my own human nature capable of freeing me from this inadequacy and limitation. If I'm to win the battle against sinful human nature in my life, I must avail myself of an exterior and superior power, and that power is the Holy Spirit. Paul states, quote, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets me free from the law of sin and death, end quote. He also stated, quote, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live, end quote. Experience ratifies the truthfulness of these affirmations. In order for the Spirit to effect the putting to death of the sinful nature in me, I must recognize my sinfulness. This sinfulness can and does express itself in self-conceit, in lust, dishonesty, falsehood, anger, bitterness, wrath, slander, envy, immorality, and so on. There must also be permissiveness on my part, allowing the Holy Spirit to work within me. The experience of putting to death won't be easy. It will hurt, and at times deeply, for the Holy Spirit will be dealing with my ego, that which I love most. Fortunately, the same Spirit who puts to death also strengthens the inner man, Ephesians 3:16, and leads us to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, Ephesians 4:13. In the second place, through the Holy Spirit, God's love is poured in my heart. It is not natural or normal for unredeemed human nature to love. The normal expressions of man who is governed by the law of sin are hate, prejudice, selfishness, unforgiving spirit, pride, lust, and so on. The Scriptures teach us that love is of God, 1 John 4:7. Also, that to love is evidence of having been born of God, 1 John 4:7. The Scriptures also affirm that love is fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. And Paul, in his letter to the Romans, writes, quote, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us, end quote. Therefore, I cannot obey Christ's injunction to love my neighbor unless I possess the Holy Spirit in my life. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for me to love those who, due to my sinful nature, I would not love. The Holy Spirit leads me to see others as Christ would have me see them, regardless of color, race, nationality, or standing. The Holy Spirit substitutes my unforgiving nature, leading me in seeking to imitate Christ in the practice of forgiveness. In 1 Peter 2:23, we read, in reference to Christ, he was reviled, but did not revile in return. He suffered, but did not threaten. He trusted to him who judges justly. In the measure that I permit the Spirit to possess me, God's love in my life becomes a reality. In the third place, through the Holy Spirit, I come into possession of that hope which produces assurance. It is easy in the light of present conditions and events to despair of the world and become a defeatist, to want to throw in the towel, to be tempted to exclaim as the writer of old, where is your God? Due to circumstances in our world and round about us, we're tempted to go a day's journey into a spiritual wilderness and sit down defeated under a broom tree. That need not be so if the Holy Spirit is real in my life and experience. Listen to the scriptures. Quote, "You were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it." And again, quote, "He has put his seal upon us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." In Romans 15:13, Paul adds, "By the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." The Holy Spirit within me produces hope, and hope produces assurance, the assurance that God is still alive. This assurance leads me to make mine the words of the psalmist, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her right early. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord, or the God of Jacob, is our refuge." May the Holy Spirit be vital and real in our lives. May he give us victory over our sinful natures. May he pour in us the love of God, and may he give us the hope that produces assurance. Let us live in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. May we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. In vain we tune our formal songs, in vain we strive to rise. Hosannas languish on our tongues, and our devotion dies. Dear Lord, and shall we ever live at this poor dying rate, our love so faint, so cold to thee, and thine to us so great? Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening powers, come, shed abroad the Savior's love, and that shall kindle ours. In Jesus' name, amen. May we sing hymn 165 as our closing prayer.